All right, I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Psalms, and specifically Psalm 25. Psalm 25. After the sermon this morning in the early service, Pastor Brian said, "Haven't you preached on that before?" And I knew that I had, but not this, not the subject, but not the verse. And so I went back and looked during Sunday school. I preached on the subject, back several months ago from Psalm 91 about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And then Dr. Gibbs preached on Psalm 91 when he was here. But now today, I want to speak to you from Psalm 25, verse 14. And I want to speak to you again about the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord. Look at verse 14, please. The Bible here says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." The secret of the Lord. Somebody will come up to you and say, you want to hear a secret? They usually call that gossip where I'm from. I don't know what you call it around here. But the secret of the Lord. You say, "Wow, I'd like to know the secret of the Lord. How do I know the secret of the Lord?" Well, it's a secret. All right. You got to let the Lord tell it to you. And I want you to think about that now as we pray, and then I want to speak to you on the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the Bible. And Lord, we're thankful that we can gather here this morning and I can open the Bible and know that when I'm preaching from the Bible, it's from the Word of the living God. It's not just my opinion, and it's not just what I say, but Lord, it's what thus saith the Lord. And Father, that's exactly what we need. We need to hear the Word of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless us this morning, bless us in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will guide and direct and just open our understanding to this little simple truth this morning about the secret of the Lord. And Father, I dare say that every person in this room would have some questions. And things that they may ask someone else and they just don't know the secret to that. They don't know the answer. But Lord, you know every answer. And I pray you'll help us today to see the importance of just getting close to you. And Lord, letting you reveal the secrets to us. Lord, why does this have to happen? Why does that have to happen? These are all questions that, Lord, we have. And we don't understand, we don't always understand, but Lord, we know you know all things. So help us, Lord, to have a heart to want to know the secret of the Lord. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, whenever someone enjoys the friendship of someone who is famous or someone who is well known, we always kind of look at that as an honorable thing. If you are friends with someone famous, or if you're friends with someone who has maybe accomplished something amazing in life for which they are renowned, that becomes something that we carry with pride. We'll say, "Well, I met so and so," or I know this person, and then we carry that with a great deal of pride. Years ago, when I was just a little guy, We moved into a subdivision in Cross Lanes, West Virginia. This was one of the first subdivisions that was built in our area. And my dad and mom bought a home in that subdivision. The plan was to put 500 homes in that subdivision. I don't know if they ever reached that goal or not, but that was the goal, to put 500 homes in this subdivision. And when you pulled off of Route 35, there was you turned off onto what was called Brookhaven Drive, and that was the name of the subdivision. It was called Brookhaven, and there was a creek, a brook that ran down through the middle of it. And the idea was to build these three and four bedroom homes, and of course at that time, folks were, you know, the country was doing well, the baby boomers were booming, and everything was just going great. And so we lived in this subdivision. Now, when you went up Brookhaven Drive, you got they took the road up about maybe half a mile, and then they stopped and they built all around that section, and then they put the road on up, and then they built all around that section and put roads off of it, and et cetera, et cetera. And the community was growing. And there was a family that lived at the end of the first section named Landon. And there were a bunch of boys in the Landon family, and Dad Landon put a basketball hoop up in their driveway, and so that was the congregational spot. I mean, everybody in the fall of the year, we all gathered at the Landon house, and we all played basketball, usually every evening and all day on Saturday and Sunday afternoon when everybody got home from church. And right across the street from the Landons was a house, and there was a boy that lived there, younger than what I was. But I do remember that this boy, I do remember his name. His name was Ronnie, and they lived right across the street from where we all played basketball. Well, it was a Saturday afternoon, and we'd been playing basketball all day just about. And it was in between games, and Tim's mother used to bring a big igloo cooler filled with Kool-Aid, and she would set it on the porch. And in between games, we would all go over and get Kool-Aid and get buzzed up for the next game, you know. And it was not artificially sweetened back in those days. And so we were all standing around talking, and all of a sudden, you got a picture. You got a mountain on this side and a mountain on this side, and Brookhaven Drive going up in a straight line. But the valley just kept going. And we were all standing there looking basically towards the upper end of that valley. And all of a sudden, somebody spotted it, and we all looked up at the same time. And here came a jet, an Air Force jet, that was just screaming down towards us, and it went over looked like it was right on the top of the mountain, but it went screaming over top of us, and then after it got past us, just shot right straight up into the air, went up, and then disappeared. And we were all just, I mean, startled beyond comprehension. You cannot imagine. Back in those days, you just didn't see something like that in West Virginia. And we were just amazed. Everybody was talking about it. And but then the game got started up again. And about an hour and a half after we had been buzzed by this jet, a black government car pulled up to the street, pulled up at the house across the street from where we were playing basketball. And the door flew open to this house, and out came Ronnie's dad. Now, this family's name was Yeager. Does that ring any bells for anybody? Chuck Yeager was a brother to the man who lived in that house. Chuck Yeager was Ronnie's uncle. And this guy gets out of this black government car dressed in a flight suit and puts his hat on his head as he gets out. And Ronnie comes running out and the dad comes running out. They all embrace. And of course, the game stopped and we're all standing because Chuck Yeager had just broken the sound barrier, and it was because he was a local boy. It was, you know, big news. And so he came over to where we were all playing ball and introduced himself and shook hands with everybody and rubbed everybody on the head. And we just thought that deity was standing right in our midst. I mean, it was the most amazing thing. And for years after that, whenever somebody new moved into the community, and whenever we were with this new person, as we walked past the Yeager house, we would all point and say, "That's Chuck Yeager's brother's house." And we took great pride that we all knew Chuck Yeager. You know, if that's the way we are with great men, how much more will it be so with God? I mean, to be known as a person who is close to God, a man that, or a woman that knows God, a person who is a friend of God. I tell you, there's not an incomparable honor. I mean, just think about it. It was God and God's hand that created the universe. It was God's mind that has inspired the greatest thinkers that the world has known. It is God's spirit that has quickened and kindled into greatness the mightiest upon the stage of human history. And so if it is an honorable thing to know and to be friends with great people who have done great things, how much more noble is it to be the friend and confidant of God Almighty who enabled and inspired those men to greatness? And I think that that is the deep meaning of this verse. You'll look at the verse again. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." The secret of the Lord is with them. It is not the secret of his hidden counsel. It is the secret of his hidden heart. The psalmist tells us that there are certain people whom God delights to honor with his confidence, and to whom he reveals himself from day to day with a special closeness and confidence. Now, we all know that there is not a soul anywhere on the planet whom the Lord Jesus will not save. He'll save whosoever will. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there is equally no man anywhere whom the Lord does not love. There is no sheep anywhere in the wilderness whom the shepherd will not leave the entire flock to rescue. We know about God's heart and we know about God's love. Yet, I want you to think of this, folks. As universal as his mercy is, as far reaching as his grace extends, the Lord Jesus in the Gospels had his special and peculiar friendships. He had those that were closer to him than anybody else. Out of the multitudes of people who trusted him, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus chose 12 to be his special, dearest, and closest, and most trusted friends. And then out of the 12, he chose 3 for whom we refer to as his inner circle of friends. And out of those 3, there was one whom we are told at the Last Supper leaned his head over and laid it upon our Lord's chest and referred to himself over and over and over in his gospel that he wrote, that he was that disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, don't you think that there would have been hundreds and hundreds of homes where the Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, would have been a welcome guest? And yet, it was at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus where Jesus was best known to rest his head when he was the most weary. As I was thinking about this and reading what others had said, one great preacher of the past said, "Broad is the love of Christ as the whole world. Deep is it as our deepest need. It is high as our highest aspiration and long as the enduring of eternity. And yet was the secret of the Lord with them that feared him." He had those who chose to be near to him, and to those men and women, he revealed the secret things of his heart. I don't know if Wednesday night, many of you I know are scattered throughout the building, but Michael Bachelor led our service Wednesday night in here in prayer during our prayer time. And Michael is about as down to earth as anything. And you caught that if you were here and listening to his prayer. Michael just talks to the Lord. And I noticed it when we were on the trip to the Philippines, but Michael just talks to the Lord like he would talk to you. It's really sweet. I mean, it's really a sweet thing. And Michael said in his prayer the other night that he was thankful that he got to go on the Philippines trip. And he said, "Lord, thank you for Pastor. And Lord, thank you that I got to spend some time with him and got to know him a little better, got to know his heart." Well, now, how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. We sat beside each other on the airplane, for one thing. I mean, when you have to sit beside somebody with your knees up under your chin for 24 hours, you share a few things and you get to know one another. We got to ride in the vans together, which was an hour's ride from the city where we were doing the conference to the hotel. So we got to spend some time together. And Michael basically was saying, "I got to see the secret of Pastor's heart. I got to see the secret of the pastor." And folks, that's what the psalmist here is saying. He is saying that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And the Lord had a lot of people that knew him, but he had an inner circle that really knew the secret of his heart. Why? Because he revealed it to them because of their presence around him. Now, let me have you think of you personally having this closeness with the Lord. Would you like to know the secret of the Lord? Folks, I'm telling you, God, things happen in our lives. I mean, we have experiences as we go through life. It's like I mentioned to you last Sunday night, and I preached last Sunday night, by the way, for 22 minutes. Right, Brian? 22 minutes. Somebody write that down, all right? 22 minutes I preached last week. You didn't think I could do it, but I did. 22 minutes. And I spoke to you about, and the message must have touched a lot of nerves because a lot of you have commented on it, about the interruptions that we have in our lives. You know, God sometimes interrupts our life. I don't understand why. I don't understand why sometimes we have to have things just put on hold for a little while, and why all of a sudden when we're in the midst of our lives, in the midst of doing what we have the strength and energy to do, all of a sudden, zap, we don't have the strength and energy anymore. I don't understand why all these things have to happen to us. But hey, here's a little verse for you. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. I tell you I may not know the answer to why you have an interruption, but wait a minute. There's a God in heaven that knows. Why don't you go to him, get close to him, and let him tell you the secret. Amen. All right. Now, just a couple of two things. First of all, this closeness is directly connected to our reverence of God. That's what the verse says. The secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear him. Fear him. Let me ask you, have you ever gotten to know someone and then you found out what they really like and you were sorely disappointed? Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to all of us, hadn't it? I mean, some people are like oil paintings, you know, they look good from a distance, but boy, when you get up close, not a whole lot to look at right there. Indeed. I went over to Russia in 1990, went just 3 months after the curtain fell, and we went in this big museum. It was King somebody's house. And we went into this big museum, and they had all these paintings by all the great masters, paintings that they had stolen from the Germans. And they had all these paintings in this place. It was just room after room of the great masters. And they had ropes up, and they had them behind glass, and they had all these signs, no flash photography, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember walking in and seeing pictures hanging from a distance, and I remembered that I had studied those when I was in school. And then I got up close to them. Well, of course, you know, we were the only ones there. And so I got to stand right in front of some of these great oil paintings by Raphael and a whole bunch of other people. And I remember looking at them from a distance and saying, wow, look at the detail, look at that. But then you get up close to it and it loses its appeal because oil painting is very rough. Stand back and look at it and you can see things that you don't want to see when you're up close. Well, you know, that may be true of men, and that may be true of things, but it is certainly not true of the Lord Jesus. The closer you get to the Lord, the sweeter is the fellowship. I mean, the closer we get to the Savior, the more we see and the more we learn, the more we know of his great heart, and the deeper becomes our adoration and our awe of just who the Lord Jesus is. You know, the Bible tells us that Abraham was the friend of God. And yet you go back and read Abraham's story, and you'll see that when he got close to God and started to see the greatness and the majesty that was God, he then saw less of himself. He realized that he was just dust and ashes in God's sight. You go back and read about Moses, and Moses was drawn into God's secret council, yet there was no one any more reverent and any more in awe of God as was this meek man. You look in the Gospels and you'll see that John looked into his master's eyes. John spent every waking moment for 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. John laid his head over on our master's chest during the Last Supper, and he heard the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus with his own ears. And yet, in Revelation 1, when he saw the vision of the resurrected Savior, John said that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I'm telling you, folks, you want to see the secret of the Lord, you got to learn to fear God. You say, well, how do you do that? You get to know God. John was in fear and respected and was in awe of Jesus because he knew him. Moses, because he knew him. Abraham, because he knew him. Our problem today is we don't read the Bible and we don't know God. But if we get in the book and learn the God of heaven and learn the God of our salvation, then we would learn to fear him. Oh, listen, to know him best is to adore him the most. Years ago, a bunch of the guys in the church wanted to go out to Colorado to go deer hunting. And I found out when they invited me to go, and I found out that in order to get a license in Colorado, you had to have a hunter safety course. Now, they didn't have that in West Virginia. If you had teeth, you could get a license in West Virginia. It just one's all you needed. But you could get a license in West Virginia. And so I called and they said, oh, you can't get a license without a hunter safety course. And I said, well, when is the hunter safety course? And he said, well, when are you wanting to hunt? And I said, the first day of the season. And he said, well, that's only like a week away. And I said, okay, then find me a hunter safety course somewhere in Colorado and I'll drive there and take the course. And they said, well, there's one in Salida, Colorado. You can go there and take the course. And I said, all right, sign me up. Now, you got to realize I'd never been east or west of the Mississippi River. Matter of fact, I had never been west of the Ohio River, if you want to know the truth. So I got in the car and I started towards Colorado. And I'll never forget driving through Kansas and getting almost into Colorado and looking way out on a beautifully clear day and seeing something that I did not recognize. And I mean, Kansas, flat as a pancake. And then all of a sudden I get into almost to Colorado, and I can look out and I see something. What in the world is that I'm seeing? And the closer I got, I realized, wow, that's the Rocky Mountains. I'd never seen the Rocky Mountains. It was astounding. I mean, it just was amazing. I would stop every little bit, get out, take the camera and snap a picture, get back in the car and keep driving in the same direction toward the mountains. Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And I kept driving, and soon I found myself right in the middle of them. I mean, I was so in awe of their height and their majesty and their mystery. And as I approached them on the interstate, I was impressed. But when I got right in the middle of them, I'll be honest with you, folks, I was totally blown away. And you know, it's the same way with God. From a distance, God appears so wonderful, so magnificent, so vast, and so awesome. But when we, who were sometime afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, we cannot help but be totally struck with awe and amazement at the glory and the splendor and the wonder that is the God of heaven. I'm saying that the closer we get to Christ, the deeper will be our reverence. If we are in the Bible and learning and growing and maturing and fellowshipping and finding out who God is, if we are learning the secret of the Lord, we are going to be stricken with awe and wonder. Do you remember that statement in John chapter 1 where John introducing us to Christ? And John said in verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the what? Light of men. Yes, that's the secret of the Lord, folks. That's the secret of the Lord. What is this life? Well, whatever it is, John said that this life is the light of men. This life is the overflowing of the exhaustless fountain of Christ's free salvation. You know, before I was saved, I was dead in trespasses and sin. But through Christ, I have been given life. Christ has brought me to life. And now I can walk and talk and love and fellowship and pray and praise and know and learn and grow. I can know God because of the life of Christ that is in me. Folks, that's learning the secret things of the Lord. What a privilege it is. And the whole reason that I have been given life is so I can know the Lord. Think of it this way, Christian. Each day is an opportunity for me to know God. Each day is an opportunity for me to know the God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Every day is an opportunity for me to get to know His grace and His goodness and His mercy and His truth. You remember that story in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus was in a crowd on a crowded street? And the Bible says that the people were pressing him on every side. Imagine that. He's trying to get from one place to another, but every step he takes, there are people that are crowding him and pressing against him. People all over touching him, looking for healing, looking for blessing. With every step that he takes, someone reaches out and touches him. But there's an amazing thing that happens. An absolutely amazing thing. As he is walking and all these people are touching him, all of a sudden one person, one woman, reached out and she touched him. And Jesus stopped. And he turned around to the crowd. He knew who it was. But he turned around, probably in the direction of the woman, and cried out, "Somebody touched me." And when he looked down, there was a woman on her knees, bowing in awe of who he was. Folks, I'm telling you, the Lord is looking for that person right here this morning. The Lord is looking for that individual right here today. The Lord, you say, "Pastor, you mean I can know the secret of the Lord?" That's exactly what I'm saying to you. You can know the secret of the Lord. You say, "But Pastor, how do I do that?" You get to know Him. That's how you get to know. Reach out and touch the hem of His garment. Crawl up into His lap and let Him put His arms around you and comfort your heart and encourage your soul and give you the strength to go on another day. That's how you know the secret of the Lord. Hey, I don't know all the answers, but He does. He does. A couple of years ago, somebody came and I knew they were friends with this other person. And so we were out here in the hallway and I said, "Where's so-and-so?" And they said, "Oh, well, they left." I said, "Why?" "Well, Pastor," I said, "now tell me why." "Well, they had a problem and he came to you about the problem." I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And did I ever remember that? Because I had no answer for it. I just didn't know what to tell them. So you know what I told them? I said, "Hey, I don't know. Get in the book." I didn't know the answer. I really didn't. "Pastor, can you help me?" "Well, I might. Try me." "Okay, here's the problem." They told me the problem. I said, "I don't know. I don't know the answer." By the way, they didn't know the answer either. That's why they came to me. And then got mad because I didn't know. And left the church over it. Let me tell you something, folks. There's some things, I'm sorry, I just don't know. But He does. Why don't you take it to the Lord? Why? Listen, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. I mean, just get on your face before God and say, "Lord, I don't understand, but I know that Thou art God," and trust in the living God. And let God be God. Don't make me God. Please don't make me God. I can't live up. But God can live up to it. Does that make sense to you? There's a second thing you got to see. What time is it? Oh, we're good. Number two. I got to show you the second thing. All right. Generally now, again, close friends of Christ are never randomly selected. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, I don't think the Lord sits up in heaven and looks down upon all of us sitting here this morning and says, I think I'll make that person close to me. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. The Lord would have all of us close to Him. If the Lord did that, He would have all of us close to Him. He loves us all. And, He wants all of us to be close, but He does not randomly select and say, well, I'll take this person, but that guy over there, you know, we do that, don't we? We do that. We're selective who we let in our inner circle, but the Lord is not. We become close to Christ through our, please get this, we become close to Christ through our choosing to be close to Christ. The Lord would have all of us close to Him. He would desire to share His secrets with each and every one of us who know Him through the pardon and forgiveness of sin. But I want you to notice what the text says. The secret is known to them that fear Him. Let me see if I can illustrate this. When I was 13 years of age, my brother was 12, and my mom and dad sent us to Miami, Florida, to spend 2.5 months with my dad's brother, my uncle, in Miami, while my dad and mom built a house. Now, looking back on it, I think really the reason Dad did that is he wanted us out of his hair. That's the only thing I can figure. I think he just didn't want me anywhere near a hammer or a saw, if you want my personal opinion. But anyway, when we got to Miami, you would think, now, of course, this was the late 60s, 1960, I don't know, 68, 69, somewhere in there, late 60s. And we never had air conditioning when I was growing up. You know, if you wanted air conditioning, you opened the windows, turned the fan on, that was air conditioning. And you would think, of course, I'm sure it's not this way anymore in Miami, but at that time, my uncle did not have air conditioning in the house. Matter of fact, I don't remember anybody down there having air conditioning in their houses. And they ran ceiling fans, and they had other fans going. And the thing that I remember, first night I was there, was all the noise that the bugs and the birds made. I mean, just constant. And I remember there was a bird that lived in a tree right outside of my window. And that bird would sit out there and sing every evening. And he would finally give it up, and then when the sun come up in the morning, he'd start again. And that was the prettiest song. That bird would just sit out there and sing his little old heart out every day. And I got used to hearing that song. I looked forward. I would lay there in bed at night and listen to that thing sing. It was delightful. In the middle of August, we drove back from Miami, drove back to Charleston. And I slept in my own bed. I was so looking forward to being back in my own bed. And it was August, so the windows were up. And I went in and laid down. I could hear the crickets. But I found myself laying there thinking, I miss my bird. I told my mom about the bird the next morning, and she said, well, what kind of bird was it? I said, I don't know. She said, did you see it? I said, well, of course I saw it. She said, why don't we see if we can find out what kind of bird it was? So my mom went down to the Ben Franklin 5 and 10 cent store and bought a book of birds in North America and brought it home. It took us over an hour after school sitting there flipping the pages trying to find that bird. And we did find it. I don't remember what it was. Everybody asked me in the early service, Pastor, you didn't tell us what kind of bird it was. I don't remember. And my mom's in heaven. I can't talk to her to find out what it was. I don't remember what it was. But I do remember this about the little article that was in that book about the bird. It said that that bird only lives in southern Florida. You will not find that bird in West Virginia. It only lives in the South. You see, outside certain limits, you're never going to find that bird. And outside a certain limit, you and I are going to find God silent. You and I are going to find God silent. There is a certain limited space where the voice of God is heard. Only from that frontier, and it's not geological, it is as it is with nature, it's not geological, it's moral. It has to do with character. It has to do with our character. What I'm saying, folks, is that hearing the secret things of God, hearing the secrets of God, are not determined by a geological space. It's not determined by anything other than you as a believer realizing that God is to be feared. Just humbling yourself before Him. Do you fear the Lord today? You see, knowing the secret of the Lord has nothing to do with education. Nothing to do with degrees. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with talent. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with position. It has nothing to do with power. What it does have to do with is position. Are you positioned before the Lord in a humbled heart? Are you sitting on His lap? Are you reading His Bible? Are you learning Christ from the only source where you can learn Christ, the Word of God? Brethren, I hope you fear the Lord today. I don't mean by that you're afraid of God, but you fear the Lord. You revere Him. You respect the fact that He is God. You understand that He has the answers. And you understand that the only way you're ever going to get the answers is for you to get close to Him and let Him give you the secrets. You know, when I've told you this before. I'll tell you this and I'll close. I was 22 years of age when my mother died. 46 years of age. And she had a massive heart attack. Boom. Gone. Just like Larry's heart attack. Gone. I mean, bang, like that. Here one moment, in heaven the next. We had the day before she passed away, suspected that Karen was carrying Joshua. And we shared it with her on Sunday night. She died on Monday. We did share that we could possibly be having a baby. She was so happy. The next day, she went to heaven. Karen and I felt led of God to go and start the church in Glenville, the first church that I pastored. And then Mom died. Now you talk about angry. I was so bitter. I was so angry. God, why would you take my mother? I don't understand that. Lord, I have sacrificed. I have done all this. Me. Look at what I've done, Lord. That was my attitude. I've done all this, and then you go and take my mother. Now, how fair is that? And I was so bitter and so angry. And I went out one day by myself and spent the whole day at a pond that we used to go to when I was a kid. We'd sneak under the interstate in these big drainage pipes. And we'd go under there and we'd go over and fish in that pond. It was up on the side of a hill. And I went over there to that pond and I sat on a rock with my Bible. And I argued all day with God. I said, Lord, I've got to go in a few weeks and stand in front of a congregation of people and tell them you're a good God. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if I can do that. Because you are not showing yourself very good to me. And I was angry. And as the day wore on, I've eventually ended up over in Philippians chapter 4. Where Paul said that there are some things that we just don't understand. But that God gives a peace that passes all understanding. And when I spent that day on that rock with my Bible and just read the Psalms and read the epistles and read the Bible, God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about 3 in the afternoon. God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and all of a sudden, even though I still did not understand it, I got a peace that passes understanding. And now for 30 some years, I've been able to come and stand in front of a congregation of people and say to them, listen, folks, I don't always understand why God does what he does. I don't always get it, but I know you can trust him. You can trust him. You say, well, how'd you learn that? There's a little secret God told me. That's how I learned it. And I have since learned many, many other times as the years have gone on that you can trust him. You see, folks, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And I just made up my mind. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna learn it. I'm gonna preach it. I'm not going to let anybody tell me anything else other than that this is God's word. This is it. This is it. You got any other better suggestion, then you come see me. But I'm telling you, this is it. And the reason that I've kept going for 30, however many years it's been now, is because I just happened to open this thing up all the time. Oh, there he is. There's the Lord. Look at that. And you keep seeing him, you keep learning him, you keep loving him, you will fear him. You will realize that he is who he says he is. And the secret will be given to you. You can know God. Say, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to go on. Well, let me suggest to you that you just crawl up on his lap and let him whisper some secrets in your ear. Let me just suggest that to you. Just get up on his lap and just like John laid over on Jesus' chest. You know why? He wanted to hear a secret. Who's going to betray you, Lord? You can tell me. Psst, 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 psst. You can tell me. Who's going to betray you? Who's going to do it? Jesus said, the one that I give the sop to, he told him the secret. He'll tell you the secret too. You want to know how to go on? Go ask him. He'll tell you the secret of how to go on. May God bless as we think about this.